He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Well, and here we go. Here we are again. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, along with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And we made it through the day yesterday. In fact, Barry, you know the last 2 days were the worst 2 days in over 14 months.
Right. I was trying to go back in history and figure out what happened 14 months ago. I still have my restraints on, my seatbelt. I slept with those last night. So
you just never know what you're going to wake up to. But now we seem to be getting some lift here. And I haven't changed my conclusion, or at least my current assessment of the situation. I think it's just another classic overreaction to the Omicron news, okay? And this is panic attack number 72 during the last 12 years of this bull market. So, you know, there could be something that changes my opinion on that going forward, but I gather as much information as I possibly can before I make my assessment, and that's my current assessment, for better or for worse. We've got a pretty good rally that is gaining steam. The Dow is up 442 points right now after dipping below its 200-day moving average yesterday for the first time since, I think, in 18 months. So that is significant. S&P Dow is up 47. The Nasdaq's up 106. The Russell 2000 is up 32. Crude oil still can't get any traction. It's down 78 cents, 64.79. I'm still paying $3.25 for gas, though. Gold is down $19. Silver's down 3 cents. The 10-year, pretty quiet, actually, 1.44. No movement there at all. And Bitcoin is at down 1370 to 57,284. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, 21 years in the trenches of the radio show and managing money professionally, former analyst writing up research reports on individual companies, and Barry Kite, who's had a number of years in the profession, chartered financial analyst, which is not an easy designation to get, nor is a certified financial planner. So hopefully we bring something to the table here today, Barry, more than just the entertainment factor that we try to offer too. Now, yesterday you could kind of go through a timeline of how the day went. It was pretty buoyant in the morning. And I stick by my guns right now that I think this is a classic overreaction by the market. It didn't help that Jerome Powell, you know, used this opportunity of the Omicron coming to our shore to also, you know, talk about speeding up the tapering. He could have waited, you know, to learn more about Omicron. Right. But you know, so we got a double whammy. The market, the Dow was down 462 points yesterday. Significantly, it dropped below its 200-day moving average. That's the Dow, just the Dow, for the first time in 18 months. And I looked at the app. I thought maybe the Dow could be on a sell today after it hasn't been there since the early days, you know, like maybe the first month of COVID originally. It went into a sell signal for a short period of time. It didn't go into a sell signal. It's a weak hold right now. It's definitely the weakest of the three indexes. The S&P 500 yesterday closed below its 50-day moving average, which is nothing to be too worried about. It was down 88. 4,700 seems to be its new support level. And we're hearing still that the consensus target price out there on the S&P is 5,100. So obvious, and there was one firm recently that had a 5,300 target price on the S&P 500. That's the consensus. Okay, and a lot can change to change that consensus, but that's it now. So obviously when you get a pullback to 40, 500 like we did yesterday, that makes the S&P that much more valuable to be buying into, and that's what's being done here today. The NASDAQ was down 284, the worst 2 days in the market. I don't know what happened 14 months ago. You know, I can hardly remember what happened last Thursday, let alone 14 months
right.
ago.
Yes.
We'd have to go back and see. There was something there. Probably Jerome Powell mentioned the word taper or something like that. But we have had a pretty rough 2 days. And yesterday, you know, it was quite a turn to the south. And it was, I mean, you could almost link it to the news. I saw all of a sudden the market dropping. I didn't know what happened. I said to myself, I'll bet the first case of Omicron has shown up in the U.S., and it was just minutes later that I started getting breaking news that in California, San Francisco, to be more specific, the first case of Omicron came ashore. So, you know, we were down with everybody else yesterday. We were down about 2%, and it's not any easier for us to sit through and watch than it is for our clients. You know, I'm in it too myself, and I take what I do very, very seriously. But I've also learned over the years that there's some rough patches that you do have to go through. Be thankful that you weren't in ARK, the flagship fund of ARK. You know, I took a lot of heat. I was criticizing. I was literally saying, I don't know what this woman is doing earlier this year. Doesn't matter if it's a woman or it's a man, has nothing to do with it. But I thought there was some reckless buying there. ARK was down 6.7% yesterday. So, Barry, apply that to our money under management. You don't have to give me a number back, but you could do it in your head. How much we would have been down yesterday if we were following the ARK strategy. It's now down 21% year to date. This is a serious loss. And the genomics fund, the ARK genomics fund, is down 35%. So, you know, somebody criticized me for, you know, talking about her and whatnot. And I said, well, I just see a lot of people that are in harm's way and they're going to lose money following this. This was back in March, April of this year. I was right. Bill was right again. We used to have a saying, Bill was right again. BWRG.
Yes. We text that back. We text that back and forth here and there. But yeah, I mean, in regards to Kathy's strategy, I mean, to me, it's a great comparison because we were in a lot of those same names.
Absolutely.
In 2020. So, you know, we could have been, you know, we could have been criticized for, you know, for being in a lot of the same stuff she was in 2020,
yep.
right? But that was the place to be at the time. And it, what's concerning to me is just kind of some of the doubling down and looking at this almost as a, you know, I think 2 days ago, I think she bought Twitter at its lowest price.
I wouldn't buy, that'd be the second to last stock I would buy right
and the
now.
Other stock,
AT&T would be
I was
the...
trying to think, yeah, not a fan of AT&T, but, and the other one, she, you know, she bought another one, you know, pretty big, big purchase also. Twitter was the first one, I can't remember the second
yeah,
one, but
I can't
it was
remember.
Just two names where it's like, you know, that doesn't seem
really?
Like great. Oh, it was coin. I think it was
Coinbase.
Not Coinbase. It was the other trading one. Robinhood.
Oh, Robinhood. That thing is getting clobbered. Just as I said, Bill was right again.
Yeah. So that's
Robinhood's getting
slammed. That's what's concerning
slammed.
To me. And,
yes.
And there's just a big in her strategy is the fact that we were so you know similar for a bit, right? And just in some of those names, right?
Yeah.
And then now the difference it shows the dichotomy between. You know, between the two
active.
Different strategies. Right.
Yeah, I mean, we
exactly.
got out in February and March before those things got slammed. And, you know, I mean, there comes a point where you can either admit you're wrong and move on. She does just the opposite. She refuses to admit she's wrong and kind of in your face even buys more. So, well, anyways, here's the good news. I believe now that we're in oversold territory, and that's showing up today. These are my notes that I did this morning. And the market is at least opened up good until we get news that, you know, the first Omicron has come ashore on the East Coast, right? That may send everything south again. But we're in oversold territory. While the indexes are only down about 4 or 5%, you know, Barry, the average stock is down 15%. So it's been pretty nasty. And that puts us into oversold territory. And I just want to remind everybody of something. We're in the fourth quarter of 2021 right now. Is this 2021? Yeah, 2021. We're expecting over 8%, in fact, 8.6% GDP growth this quarter. The economy really is still white hot. And I don't think, at least not now from what we know, I mean, this person that came to America with Omicron is already over it. It hasn't spread to any of their contacts. And, even if it does spread, it doesn't seem to be it seems to be very mild so far. So, in my opinion, panic attack number 71 in a 12-year bear market. It's no fun to sit through, but we're in oversold territory, and we're still in a big growth phase in the economy. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. The Dow up 378 right now. And the S&P 500 is having a very good day also. And I would say that the stocks that are leading, the S&P's up 29, kind of indicative of what the market is starting to, how the market is starting to assess the Omicron threat, because the vacation stocks are having a good day today. The leaders in the S&P are Wynn Resorts, Norwegian Cruise Lines, Carnival, Delta, MGM Grand, Royal Caribbean. Those are the leaders. Those are the biggest percent gainers in the S&P 500. So you either have short covering, which would be caused by, maybe traders, investors saying, maybe this Omicron's a little bit overblown and maybe this two-day reaction wasn't really warranted here. I mean, that's what I'm reading into it, at least at this point. In the Dow, the leaders are Boeing, American Express, Visa, Disney, which are all stocks that would be hurt by Omicron. Instead, those stocks are rallying today. The only disturbing thing I see about the action in today's market is for the third straight day, your traditional tech stocks are not leading the NASDAQ at all. It's Wynn Resorts, it's Marriott, it's the chip stocks are taking the day off. They're down 2 or 3% today. And Apple reported earlier today that the demand for their Apple 13 is slowing. And Apple was down in the pre-market. The NASDAQ was down in the pre-market. So that's kind of taking a lot of the associated stocks with Apple down. And those software stocks, which sold off big yesterday, are rebounding somewhat today. We have a pretty big winner today in our premier growth portfolio, a software stock that's up 10% this morning. That may be our featured stock in the last quarter of the show, but that's where the leadership is coming from in the market today. The tech stocks, I mean, the Googles, the FANG stocks, etc., they are not leading the NASDAQ today. They're basically flat. Okay, so the latest from Fauci, and I think this may have caused some of the panic too. The person that was discovered with Omicron in California had been vaccinated. Okay, fully vaccinated, no booster shot. So that kind of tells you that Omicron is sneaking through, and this was Moderna's vaccine, that it didn't protect this person from getting the virus. But it was very, very mild. Fauci also said it'll be another 2.5 weeks, 2 to 2.5, to better understand the transmissibility of Omicron. And he also said we shouldn't change our behaviors, but we should continue to take prudent measures in indoor settings, and people should get a booster now and not wait until a variant-specific shot may become available. So that's his guidance.
Which isn't new news, right? I mean,
no.
We already knew that, you know, folks who have been vaccinated have been, you know, been getting, you know, COVID, you know, have been tested positive for COVID. You know, the fact is that, you know, you didn't have as, you know, either, you know, reduced, or no hospitalizations and reduced deaths. And that's the, I mean, that was the main point, you know, so to me, you know, reading a lot of this stuff, you know, a lot of the information hasn't really been new. You know, it's just has a different name, right? One that I'm still working on pronouncing correctly. But, you know, other than that, a lot of this is, to me, is kind of similar to where we've already, you know, kind of been with COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And we also had pretty good news yesterday. The Fed released their beige book, and they reported that in most districts, the economy continues to grow at a modest to moderate pace. The labor market continues to be very strong, white hot strong. The supply chain disruptions are clearing. Leisure and hospitality activity picked up in most districts. Energy also saw generally higher activity. Loan demand increased in almost all regions. So the economy, like I say, we're looking for 8.6% GDP growth in the fourth quarter. We had 2% last quarter, but I heard, I think the Wells Fargo chief market strategist saying that a lot of that is coming into this quarter. So really, you had a better quarter last quarter than it seemed, but it's going to show up in this quarter. Now, yesterday, like I say, the big the ones that really caught my attention on the downside, just ugly, the entire software sector. Now, that could be caused, too, by ETF selling. There was one software stock that reported less than expected earnings, and that was Salesforce. That stock is in the Dow. It was down almost 10%. So I got to believe that a lot of people run to their computers and sell ETFs like HACK. That thing got whacked yesterday, the cybersecurity, the cloud ETF, WCLD, along with all the stocks in it. And we actually had a software stock that reported stellar earnings yesterday, Zscaler, ZS, and it was way up in the pre-market. And then when that news came out, it went down with the rest of the software stocks. To me, that now becomes the most oversold sector. If I were going to pick on a tech sector to pick up some stocks here after a big oversold day, it would be in that software and cybersecurity space. HACK is one of the ETFs there. Bug is another one, looking for bugs and viruses and stuff in cyberspace. So anyways, that was another area that really got sold off. And like I said, Cathie Woods was down 6.7% yesterday. That was the most painful ETF I saw out there yesterday. Some of the inverse ETFs are perking up a little bit. The biotechs are under heavy pressure. We don't own any biotechs. BIS is the opposite biotech, the inverse. That's one of the better looking ones. I've mentioned SARK, S-A-R-K, which is inverse ARK. Dog was looking pretty good yesterday. Of all the three indexes, the Dow looks the worst. The Dow looks the most vulnerable, the weakest, and actually closed below its 200-day moving average for the first time in a long, long time, maybe 18 months or so. But I'm looking at support. The support now on the Dow is at 34,000. If it can hold on to 34,000 and remain above it, it should be okay. But a break below that, and I may consider Dog in the active, the more, you know, defensive premier growth portfolio that I run, and the income and growth portfolio. The VIX, 10-month high. No wonder we're wearing seatbelts today and taking the Dramamine, huh?
Right.
It's been pretty wild. The VIX hits a 10-month high. Okay, when we come back, I got a lot of stocks here lined up to talk about. I've been doing a lot of research this morning. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. After the worst 2 days in 14 months, we're having a much better day today. Although the NASDAQ has now gone negative. It's down 19. I was concerned there about the lack of any kind of movement, really, in your more traditional NASDAQ stocks. The Dow, on the other hand, is up 370 right now. There's weakness in Apple today, and that is impacting the NASDAQ and all the affiliated stocks, especially the chip makers that provide chips and supplies to Apple. Apple's down 3% right now, so that has a lot to do with the underperformance of the NASDAQ today. The NASDAQ is still above its 50-day moving average. It's a lot healthier than the Dow is right now. I would just add that. And I just want to go back to that VIX. You can actually invest in the VIX, and that can be used as a hedge at times against volatility. VXX is the it's an ETF, and you're corresponding to the performance of the S&P 500 VIX index. So when things get really volatile, the VIX goes up. And when things are calm, now I would just say that investing in the VIX has been a terrible investment. You know that this ETF came out in 2018. It's been as high as $315 per share. That was during COVID. And now it's at $26 per share. So you this thing gone from $315 to $26. Maybe it's a buy here. Okay, if you're one that thinks that this Omicron is going to really take off and shut down the economy again, and you know the freezer trucks outside the New York hospitals collecting the debt, well, then invest in the VIX at $26. It's been as low as 19, so it has moved from 19 to 26 since all of this started. Jobless claims came in this morning at 222,000. That's a good number. That points to a strong economy right now. We'll get the actual non-farm payroll numbers tomorrow. We had a pretty good ADP jobs report. I think it was 533,000. Okay, we were talking yesterday about Seeking Alpha, and rarely does a day go by that someone's not calling. I see one of the trending articles on Seeking Alpha. You'll have to check and see if it's still there. It was in the top five this morning. The title of the article, AT&T Stock, My Highest Conviction Prospect. Now, here's your assignment. Here.
There's a new one at the top, too. There's two. So the one you're mentioning is number three. The number one is AT&T's exact dividend is unimportant. Buy the stock on sale. There you go.
Okay.
So
that's
the
it's
new
every
number
day.
One. So two of the top three are involving AT&T.
Now, during the next commercial break, I just want you to go to Stock Rater. What is the one that rates us guys?
Oh, Stock Twits.
No.
No. Tip Ranks.
Yeah. I want you to look those two people up. Because I like, you know, look, if I got a 100 hitter coming to the plate and trying to teach me how to hit a baseball, I'm not going to really listen to that guy. Look up those two people's Tip Ranks. Okay, just for fun. But I knew there would be some because it hit a 9-year low yesterday and the dividend yield hit 9%. I just found this interesting. The Oakland A's are submitting a bid to build the stadium at the Tropicana, or the site. Remember, they toppled that Tropicana with a big explosion. And everybody seemingly wants out of Oakland. The Raiders are gone. And I think, aren't the Sacramento, aren't the Kings gone too? Didn't
well,
they move
Golden
out of
State
Oklahoma?
Did Golden State? Golden State, did they move? I know they were, I thought they were moving back across
Golden
the
State,
Bay, if I'm not
yeah,
mistaken.
Yeah, I think they moved, and now the A's, which that's an old, 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 old stadium. I mean, you go back to the days of Reggie Jackson and Charlie O. Finley and all those guys. They want to move to Vegas themselves, so... Anyways, okay, now, a little company won a patent lawsuit yesterday against Moderna, saying Moderna stole their recipe, and they may be in for receiving royalties. They may be eligible for royalties from Moderna. The little stock is Arbutus, A-B-U-S. It was up 43%. I actually had a friend that... developed software and a way of storing data that Microsoft infringed upon, and their little penny stock, they got millions and millions of dollars in rewards from Microsoft, and they were basically done for life, those guys, because Microsoft had stepped on their technology in data storage. But here's Arbutus suing Moderna, winning the patent fight, and we'll see how that... I've never found that to be a good reason to buy a stock. I remember Rambus for years was suing a lot of the semiconductor companies, hoping for a big award someday, and people were buying Rambus just on the legal issues, but I never found that to be a good reason. Oil price rundown, well, you got a big OPEC meeting tomorrow, and there's no way. There is no way that they're going to open up the spigot right now, especially with oil at $43, $44, $64 per barrel. Okay, Jack Dorsey, now we've got Meta. Facebook is now Meta Platforms. Square is going to become Block, which leads to the, you know, obvious question, will Jack Dorsey be the Blockhead? I assume he's going to be the Blockhead.
Yeah, why would, I guess, would they want to go to Block so they can have, I guess, in the blockchain,
the,
potentially?
It's the blockchain.
I mean, that makes sense, okay.
But how many times are people going to call him the Blockhead? Dorsey's kind of stepping away from Twitter, which I wouldn't buy that stock.
He'd be better off if he just changed his own name, right?
Yeah, AT&T is the last stock I would buy, and Twitter is the second to last stock I would buy. But anyway, Square, and those stocks have been under pressure too, the payment stocks. And Square is getting, look at the chart on Square today. It's getting clobbered. It's just absolutely breaking down and getting clobbered. So the name change is not helping.
Yeah, and PayPal, PayPal to me, every time I look at it, just looks more and more attractive. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But
I finally had to cry uncle on PayPal. I finally said, you know what, I can't take it anymore. This is not good. It has broken down below my line in the sand. Now, I also sent out a tweet yesterday that some of these software stocks have broken below my line in the sand, but because the market was so overreacting to this news on Omicron, I just decided some of those stocks, I'm going to give them a little bit more leeway, even though it's painful to watch. The Koch brothers investing in Standard Lithium, SLI. How are the lithium stocks doing today? It's down a little bit. And I know our Lithium America is doing a little bit of a secondary offering, so it's down today. Let's check on Tesla, see how the EV cars are doing today. It's down quite a bit. It's down, maybe she's getting a lot of redemptions. She is a big holder, Kathy Wood, of Tesla. She's got to be getting a lot of redemptions over there at ARK.
Well, you would think, because I did the math, and essentially she's 38% off of their February high, which, a lot of things dropped during that time, but then eventually, right, other things came back, but that, it hasn't come back.
Well, and the fact that the S&P's up 20% and she's down 20%, that's 40, that's a difference of 40%, and it's breaking its support level, ARK is today. It's below 100, it's down 1.6%. Now, here's the key. On four times normal volume, okay, so those are redemptions. Robinhood, here's your dogs, Robinhood. Man, I couldn't believe that thing. I warned you about Robinhood, the demographics and the unprofitability that that would lead to. It's hitting a new low again today, down 2%. After being $90 a share, it's $23 a share. Another name, which you know, was a winner last year and is just getting pummeled this year, is Zoom Video, as ZM. Now Microsoft is getting in on the act. They're making their Teams pretty much a standalone version of Teams to compete with Zoom. And I always said that the barrier to entry for Zoom is pretty low to create video conferencing software. That's been around for a long time. I think Citrix had...
I named off a ton of them. Yep. GoToMeeting,
exactly.
Your Citrix, which is now owned by Cisco, I believe.
And the last dog we'll mention before we get to some good stuff in the final segment, Uber. That thing hit a new low yesterday, getting a little bounce today, but it just looks awful. They can't make a profit. That's the problem. Who can? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Apple definitely hurting the NASDAQ, down 30, and it looks like all the chip makers and the chip equipment makers are on the downside here today. The Dow continues to do well. It's up 390, but, you know, it has the most to bounce, really, because it went below its 200-day moving average yesterday. And it was in the most oversold, let's put it that way. It was in the most oversold condition. And it is at least bouncing today, is the Dow. Okay, I want to give one old-timer stock kudos here for really kind of becoming relevant again. And, you know, this stock... Many different CEOs have been in there. I remember Meg Whitman was in there for a while. She ended up running for governor. Carly Fiorina ran the place for a while. She ran for president. But Hewlett-Packard, HP, is breaking out. And guess what? It's ranked number 29 out of 5,985 different stocks in our database.
Yeah, it's been on a tear.
It's been on a tear. You would think it would have gone the way of IBM and AT&T. It pays a 2.7% dividend yield. Maybe you can Google who the CEO is of that. We played a trivia game, I think Thanksgiving Day, and one of the questions was, who's the CEO? I thought, oh, I'm going to know this. And it was actually someone I had not heard of. I can't remember the name of which company it was, but it was one of the big ones. It was Oracle. Who was the current CEO of Oracle? That was on the trivia. I didn't know it. I mean, I remember Ellison. I don't know who the current leader of HPQ is, but that stock is breaking out to a, man, you got to go way back to find it at this level. And it's ranked number 27 overall. It hasn't been this high, in 10 years, 15 years. There you go. So that's kudos to still being relevant. I have their new smart tank printers where you buy the bottles of ink and refill it yourself and not waiting for those little cartridges to come. Their last four quarters, earnings up 42%, 82%, 104%, and 52%. That's outstanding. HPQ.
Enrique Lores is the current CEO. Took over November 1st of 2019.
I give him credit. Yeah. Or whoever, maybe the prior one set him up for success. But whatever it is, it's working. And this stock has risen clear up to number 29 overall. in the ETF world, I noticed that the shipping stock, which is really volatile, the shipping ETF, that thing's on a roll again. Breakaway Dry Bulk Shipping, BDRY, got cleared. It went from 42 to 19 in a month. You talk about volatile. There needs to be a VIX. There needs to be a volatility index on the Baltic Dry Index. And now shipping stocks are rising again. It's gone from 19 to 28 in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So this thing is all over the map. But it has been the number one ETF off and on over the last several years. And when it gets hot, and it's hot right now. The other one here that I got to mention, although it has lost some of its gain, it was up 13% this morning. It was up $44 a share. Now it's up $26 per share. Kind of an apt name for this time of season. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. The symbol is snow, S-N-O-W, snowflake. Snowflake is the stock, and it has a connection. It's the same guy who started ServiceNow, which we made a lot of money in. That symbol is N-O-W, and this Snow came public not that long ago. It's been a very successful IPO so far. This thing was $184 in May, and now it's $337 per share. And their most recent quarter, their sales were up 110%, triple-digit sales growth. They're almost profitable. They're not quite there yet. But this thing has good DNA with the same guy who started ServiceNow, which is one of the biggest winners that
Slootman,
we ever had.
Right? Isn't that his last Slootman, I believe?
Yeah, Something like that.
And you know, from an app perspective, the ranking is going to get a lot better once they actually show some positive earnings. I know we kind of make a few adjustments internally on that name, but. Just a good, great pedigree, put it that way.
Yes, and let's see, does it have a current ranking? Oh, yeah, well, that doesn't make sense. But it was 167 a month ago. And I will say this, the shorter the track record of the stock, which it only has a 1 year, that makes it more volatile in the rankings, too.
Right, yep.
Yeah, so anyways, because it has been under pressure here recently, but it's been in the top 200, and we do own Snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. In our ultra growth, premier, because this is a $100 billion company already. All right, well, you know what? We don't know where the market will end. We could have breaking news that the first, Omicron shows up in New York City. Between now and the close of the market. But for now, you're having a good rebound day in a very oversold Dow. And the NASDAQ would be positive, but you've got Apple with specific news to them saying that it's slowing down the demand a little bit. And, of course, they also sandbag a little bit for their Apple 13. Well, I'm working on the newsletter today. I'm determined to get it out tomorrow because Saturday looks like a really good fishing day. And that always motivates me.
Yes.
So if you'd like to get on the newsletter mailing list, it only goes to clients and live trading subscribers, but we offer 2 free weeks, peekaboo at it. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. I did have a conference call with the app developers yesterday. We're getting really close. They got to clean up that home page a little bit. And if you'd like to just talk to us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, about how we manage money. Talk to a CFP. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.